This is a Federal News Network podcast.
The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Sean Kelly, who is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Cyber Chat with Sean Kelly, former CISO at EPA and former deputy CIO at Veterans Affairs on Federal News Network. Cyber Chat, where government leaders come to discuss the hottest cyber topics affecting us today. Now your host, Sean Kelly.
Today we're going to be talking to Jyoti Dugar, CISO at NIH's Center for Information Technology. Jyoti, how are you doing today?
I am doing great.
You're the CISO at CIT. What is that and what does it entail?
It entails a lot of things. So the NIH Center for Information Technology, CIT, we're responsible for the enterprise technology for all of NIH, but in addition to that, other government agencies as well, and over 300,000 researchers and scientists across the world.
NIH is kind of the premier research organization that kind of does a lot with commercial, private sector institutions and all those kind of things. So it does have a great mission. I mean, there's a lot of great things that happen there. Today, you and I are going to talk a little bit about the cyber workforce and more in particularly bringing diversity to that workforce. Where do you think we are with diversity in cybersecurity today?
Not in a very good place, in my opinion. Diversity is often thought of as simply a race or gender type of issue. And in my perspective, it's much broader than that. So when I look at diversity, I look at a variety of different factors, such as thinking style, ethnicity, age, religion, education, experience, perspective, skills. I can go on and on. So I look at it as a variety of different things, and that's really what makes up a really good workforce in any setting, but especially in cyber. So right now, if we look at the data, the cyber field is probably not one you would look at as being mature or rich in diversity.
Okay.
And just to throw out a stat there, according to ISE Squared, minorities only represent 26% of the overall cybersecurity workforce currently. And within that, there's ethnic and racial minorities. They tend to hold non-managerial positions currently. And there's a slew of pay discrepancies as well when you look at that, especially for minority women. So I am really passionate about this field, and I do believe that if we don't do anything to change these stats, we're missing out on opportunities, losing talent in the workforce, and just losing creativity in the field in general.
So you brought up a couple of different points, and I want to make sure I grab some. But there's one in particular that you mentioned, and it's thinking differently. I think we have age covered. I think we have religions covered. But thinking differently, how do we capture that? How does a manager sit in an interview and say, this person doesn't think anything like me, I'm going to go ahead and hire them, right? Because, you know, what you normally get is, this person doesn't think anything like me. Our thought process is completely different. We're not on the same wavelength, not the right person to bring in my organization. And I think the argument you're making today is, no, that's probably really the person you do want to get. Am I right?
That is absolutely correct. And that's also part of this is changing the mindset of leaders and even other CISOs. So if you're a CISO and you're hiring your staff, then that is the current mindset. You feel like, oh, you look for what you know and what you like. And sometimes what you like is just based on your own skill sets. But there's a reason why you're hiring this person. So if you just get somebody else that has the same skill set as you, then your team isn't going to be as creative. You're just going to follow a standard type of philosophy. But if you get someone that's different than you, one might think of it as adversity. Oh, this person's totally opposite me. But that might be a good thing because they're going to bring in different perspectives. And as long as you feel like you can work with that person, they're not being hostile or just abrasive. They just think differently. I would think that's actually a gift.
And I would think that's good across the board as we talk about things. But how? Okay, so I think we all can agree that 26% of the cybersecurity workforce is not a good place to be. It's not very diverse or mature, as you just said. But then here's the hard question. what can we do to increase diversity in the cybersecurity?
Yep, great question. So based on the broad definition of diversity, there's a lot of things we can do as organizations and also as cyber professionals in the industry. We need to stop, for one, advertising cyber as purely a technical field. And one that's most often advertised as something scary. You know, you watch movies or these sitcoms or media often portrays adversaries as well as even cyber professionals as just these guys with hoodies on that's typing away and coding walking around where the bad guys are trying to steal things and the good guys are just portrayed as somewhat nerdy or super smart. That's really not the case at all. It could be in very small areas in cybersecurity, maybe in the intel community and things like that. But if you look at the broad cybersecurity field, it's just so broad. There's so many things you can do, and we need so many different types of skill sets. So being a cyber professional myself, I value communication skills, organizational skills, project management skills, and just a different diversity of talent, personalities, empathetic skills, and even creativity. So one often doesn't look in the creative artistic fields for cyber professionals. Mm-hmm. You would think it's totally different, and it would take them a really long time to maybe get up to speed with cyber. But I've actually found that to be the opposite, because if you don't think creatively and you have a set way of thinking, then you're only going to get so far. You really need to think outside of the box sometimes and be able to speak the language of the person that you're really trying to help in the organization. So as CISOs, we're responsible for speaking the language of a CFO. We need to speak the language of a CIO and even different stakeholders. So at the NIH, as you said, we're a healthcare organization. We can't go to a clinical director or a scientist or researchers and speak the same language we would speak to a system administrator. So just being able to think like that and think creatively, how do we want to show people the information? Some people can relate more to visual. Some people relate more to just hearing things. And some people want something in writing. So just that's a very different kind of skill set than just purely technical.
It is. And do you do that with not just the artistic people, but with the project management and those other folks or those other skills you mentioned? So are you bringing folks in and feel that you can teach them the cybersecurity side, or do they have any cybersecurity walking in the door?
It can be both ways. So one thing I do strongly believe in is cross-training, and even within your own organizations. You don't always have to look externally for cyber professionals. So one thing that I've tried to encourage is looking at someone maybe in a different team that might have some interest in cyber. Maybe they're just too scared to get into it, or they don't know how to get into it. And looking at their potential. Okay, so they're doing something else right now. Maybe they're doing project management. Can we teach them certain aspects of cyber and get them started in maybe one aspect and then slowly grow them into other aspects as well?
Okay. Let's talk more about that when I come back. My guest today is Jyothi Dugar, CISO for the Center of Information Technology at NIH. I am Sean Kelly, and this is Cyber Chat on Federal News Network.
When we need help, we turn to government. When government needs help, they turn to Federal News Network.
For news on the federal pay raise.
To learn how other agencies handle IT modernization.
To see how Congress funds my agency.
For changes to my TRICARE benefits.
Federal News Network, helping feds meet their mission.
Welcome back to Cyber Chat on Federal News Network. My guest today is Jyothi Dugar, CISO, Center for Information Technology at NIH. Jyothi, before we left, we were talking about bringing in different skill sets, bringing in different thought process, bringing in different cultures. And during the break, we started talking about, and you want to talk about emerging education. What did you want to say?
So one thing we can do immediately is look at the sector of the population that we probably haven't done a very good job looking at, which is college students, high school students that might have some interest getting into field, or it might not, but this is one way to get them in it and get them the experience, practical experience in the field. And one thing I found is even students that are in the field already from a college point of view, maybe they're doing a master's in cybersecurity or even a bachelor's, they're not able to find good quality jobs because the organizations are looking for experienced people already, not realizing there's a catch-22. If you're looking for experience and you're not providing the experience, it's kind of hard to get that. So one thing, one way to capture that is to provide some sort of immersive education type of experience. So bring them on board, maybe as a unpaid volunteer or a summer type of opportunity where they're learning on the job and they're getting the practical experience in maybe different areas of cyber.
Agreed.
And the organization is benefiting as well. And if that person happens to do really well and progress, then when they do graduate, it's almost it's a good fit for the organization you already know, and you've already been working with that person.
Okay. No, I definitely can understand that. And, you know, as we talked about diversity, you mentioned the pay gap of women minorities in cybersecurity. And so how do we get women, but even more, how do we get young girls into cybersecurity today?
Yeah, so that's also another area that I really feel needs a lot more women to represent the industry. So if you only have 20% female in the industry itself and you hardly see them, then that makes the numbers look even lower. So that's why I really try to go out to schools, to colleges, even to grade schools, and just talk about my field in a very excited way. Well, one, I am excited. I'm not pretending to be excited. But two, also just to get them to not feel so scared about the field either. Because one thing that I noticed for myself when I got into the field was I didn't have any mentors or role models to look at in this field, particularly
women. Yes.
And even in the technology field overall, you don't see too many female top leaders in this industry. So one way of trying to help with that is going to schools, talking about your field, getting more involved in the STEM areas, and encouraging girls to stay in the STEM areas. Because what we found, a lot of the research stats show that even for the girls that enter STEM programs, they drop out by the fourth grade. Unfortunately, that has to actually do with relate to a lot of other girls that aren't in STEM that discourage the girls that are interested in STEM. So you have that somewhat of a rivalry there, too. And you see that in the workforce as well. If you see a female either a CISO or a cybersecurity leader, you often encounter a lot of adversity among the female staff as well. And we really need to start changing that, you know, trying to bring women up, not put them down.
Okay. What made you? So let's walk through that decision. When you made a decision at one point to get into this field of cybersecurity, what was that? What made you think, I want to do this?
Often it's a mentor or a supervisor that's looking out for you, or someone that's looking out for you and sees the potential in you. And that was my story as well. So in a previous position I held, I was a project manager. And I was very organized, and it was for a DoD project. And that supervisor at that time thought that, cyber is getting big these days. Why don't you take a stab at it? And you seem to have that sort of mindset or potential. So start taking a look. And that's when I started looking at it and did some research. What I found was, this is a field with it's a male-dominated field. I don't see anyone that I recognize or I can relate to. But I tried. You know, I thought I'll take a risk and see what happens. You know, at least I'll get the experience, and then I can make a decision. And I stayed ever since then. So I joined, I think, around 2005, and I think I really haven't had the need to look elsewhere, just because it is an exciting field.
It is, and lots of challenges. And so how do we increase the overall cybersecurity posture in the government agencies? You know, what is that key component? You know, I mentioned three: people, process, technologies. But what are those key components that are going to help us raise the security posture to be able to defend the government better?
So I believe in a holistic and integrative approach to pretty much everything in life, but you could also apply it to the cyber industry. So trying to solve problems with band-aid fixes or magic bullet cures will only conceal the root cause, leading to more severe issues later on. So if you look at things from a holistic point of view, people are at the heart of the organization. So there's a common saying in cybersecurity that people are your weakest link. And that's a very negative way of looking at people. I look at people as our greatest assets. And to keep them as greatest assets, we need to do a lot as organizations to train them, to provide the necessary knowledge and information that they need, to make them feel important and valued in the organization so they don't leave. We also need to look at a variety of different tools an organization uses. So right now, I'm sure many organizations, including government and industry, use a variety of different tools. Some that maybe they were mandated to use, some that they bought on their own. And often we end up using too many tools, or we're using a very small part of each tool and we're really not using them effectively. Mm-hmm. So even looking at that from a holistic point of view, what do we really need? And seeing what can we do to minimize the tools, but yet have it function the way that they need to.
Mm-hmm.
And do they all play nicely with each other as well?
Okay.
And then third aspect, I would think, if you look at it from a holistic point of view, from a health perspective, you know, you would think of the mind-body energy perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So the energy of the culture of the organization, meaning, is executive leadership knowledgeable and fully versed on the cyber risks for their organization? Or does the organization tend to put the onus of cyber into the hands of only the CISO or the CIOs? Does everyone understand their role in cybersecurity? And are we embedding cyber into everyone's roles? So that needs to be considered. And is top leadership in the organization, are they accepting the risks? Do they have a full understanding of the risks? Or who are they getting that knowledge information from? Looking into that. And also, what's key, I think, is to have a direct line of communication between the cyber teams and the CISOs with their senior and executive leadership. Often that doesn't happen either. So the executive leadership might be getting some data from maybe the CIOs, maybe someone else, but do they have a direct line of communication with the actual CISO themselves?
Okay. You mentioned people with a very important part, but let's talk about that when I come back. My guest today is Jyoti Dugar, CISO for the Center for Information Technology at NIH. I am Sean Kelly, and this is Cyber Chat on Federal News Network.
Federal News Radio is now Federal News Network. All the intel you need, all in one place. Technology.
Ask the CIO.
Defense.
On DOD.
Pay and benefits, breaking news, and daily headlines. On air at 1500 a.m. Email alerts, ebooks, videos, webinars, and more at federalnewsnetwork.com.
Welcome back to Cyber Chat on Federal News Network. My guest today is Jyoti Dugar, CISO, Center for Information Technology at the National Institutes of Health. You talked about people being your greatest asset. Okay, that's how you look at them. So, but there are those that, as you mentioned, that say people are our weakest link in this process. And so how do we implement cybersecurity into everyone's role? How do we make them part of our defense?
First, I think we need to look at who everyone is. What do we know about them? What role do they play in the organization? Who are our stakeholders? And try to see what do they currently think their role in cyber is, and get that, you know, meet with them and talk to them. So if you're talking to a clinical, a scientist or a clinician or a researcher, do they think they play any role in cyber right now? And just understanding that. What do they feel their role in the overall mission is? Do they see a tie between cyber and their role in the mission? Or do they feel that cyber is a barrier to their mission? And often the case that is the case, that they feel that cybersecurity is just the naysayers or the team that says no to everything, or that they really can't. It's a roadblock to what they're trying to do. And changing the conversation to bridge that gap. To show them that cyber is actually an enabler of the mission. It's not a roadblock. And actually, you know, walking your talk as well. So not just saying things, but then when they ask for something, say no. So I always believe that, you know, instead of saying no, you can say, try to understand what purpose are they asking this for. So if they want to do something, if they want to buy something, then there has to be a business purpose tied to this. And how does that tie to the mission? And then our job as CISOs is to, or cyber professionals, is to make sure that they're doing that in a secure way, but not necessarily just saying no to everything that they ask. And also looking at specific training that each of these roles might need. So often the case, organizations have a yearly annual security awareness training that nobody really pays attention to. They just click next and they're done, check off the mark. And there's really no follow-up or any sort of way that they can tie that to their role or how they're serving their mission. So looking at specific trainings we can have for each of our stakeholder groups, and how often do people need this type of training? Mm-hmm. Maybe once a year you have a big training, but then often frequently you have some other smaller types of training, so security is always on their mind. And a lot of times it's not always what they do at work, it's also what they do outside of work. So as you start engaging them more and enabling them to have a cyber-safe mind frame, they're going to start incorporating these tactics outside of the job setting too. And that's really where we want to take things. So if you take your work laptop home and then your home network is filled with viruses and worms and Trojans, then you better have a really strong mechanism on your work computer that it's not going to ingest all of these.
Okay. No, I think those are great points. Let's, you know, as we're nearing the end of the show, let's shift a little bit to healthcare, something that you and I very well know. Why haven't we as an industry, healthcare, health-related fields, not seen the progress that we need to in cybersecurity? Is it because we have doctors? Is it because we have researchers? Is it because, you know, we hear, and I'm sure you've heard this in your career, I have, that if I do this, someone will die, or some of that nature. But these are also very highly educated folks that I think if you go back to what you just said a minute ago, I think if you went to them and had that conversation, I think they'd understand it. So is it our fault that we're not making the progress, or is it a combination? What do you think?
It's definitely a combination. Again, everything has multiple aspects to it. So if you, again, look at it from a holistic point of view, if you're a clinician or doctor, your number one priority and your mission is to help treat a patient. And that's your goal. It's not to sit here muddling with a computer or if a patient's in a medical MRI scanner, that's not the time you want to get the blue screen of death on your computer. So it's really timing and speaking their language as cyber professionals. So a lot of the times there's FDA certifications that come into play that they might feel a little worried about, oh, if we're installing these patches or if we're securing these medical devices, it might void some sort of FDA certifications, which is actually not the case, but just ensuring them that actually if you don't secure these medical instruments, then you're putting the patient at more of a risk. So if they're truly focused on patient safety, then cyber safety is included in that. Because if we don't, if the cyber professionals in the organizations aren't able to get to those medical instruments and medical devices and be able to secure them, then somebody else is going to get to them. And those aren't the people that you really want getting to them. I do think that healthcare is slowly coming to terms with understanding that they are a major target for cyber threats. I think it took a long time to get there. But I think it's starting to rise in importance. I just feel that even now they feel like just hiring a CISO is all they have to do and everything's taken care of, and they'll never be compromised. So I think that's another aspect of it, you know, getting the right CISO and also getting the right budget for the hospitals to have a fully functional security office that can take care of these things for them.
And you kind of touched on this already, but is there a similarity in the struggles that we have in cybersecurity and healthcare? You know, what the struggles of healthcare and or the daily regimen of healthcare? Are there similarities?
Yes. So I'm going to take a little bit of a different stance on this, just based on my own personal experiences. So what I found was there's a vast number of similarities between the healthcare industry as well as a cyber industry. You might not think so, but there really is. One major aspect of that is workforce burnout. So in both professions, there's an unusually high percentage of burnout. Too many bureaucratic tasks, long hours at work. In both industries, it's almost never-ending work. Patients are going to keep coming. Cyber threats are going to keep coming. It's never really stopping. Increased computerized technology as well. So as we all know, the cyber industries, there's Internet of Things, IoT, but also in the healthcare profession. You know, a long time ago, patients, doctors, clinicians just had to work on patients, and that was their number one goal. Now they have to sit there and inputting data into computerized technology. They have to figure out how to use these modern EHR type of systems. It's not paper-based anymore. And sometimes that could be they're doing things that this isn't what they're passionate about doing. There's also high adversity in both professions. Mistakes can be costly in the healthcare sector. It could be life or death. It could also be that in the cyber industry too, especially if you're a CISO for DOD and you're launching missiles in foreign countries. And every task sometimes seems to be mission critical. So having said that, I think it's understandable that both clinicians and cyber professionals feel overwhelmed, tired, and they might not see the value in what they're doing, just getting through the day. So just to throw out a stat there, medical errors right now are the third leading cause of death, about 250,000 a year. And in the cyber industry, the cultures that foster burnout cost organizations 10 times more than absenteeism. So if you just don't show up to work, you're actually costing the organization less than if you're showing up to work and being burnt out.
Yeah.
So I believe that, just in my personal opinion, workforce wellness is the number one thing we can do in both industries, especially for cyber and healthcare.
Okay.
And enhancing the diversity in the workplace. This is how all of these things kind of tie together, is enhancing the workforce wellness programs, enhancing the diversity in the workplace, employee engagement, adequate training, and most importantly, as I said before, placing our people first and taking care of them will go a long way in both professions.
My guest today has been Jyoti Dugar, CISO, Center for Information Technology at the National Institute of Health. I am Sean Kelly. Thank you for listening. You can follow me on Twitter at Mr. Sean Kelly, and we'll see you next month.
You've been listening to Cyber Chat with Sean Kelly on Federal News Network. Tune in Friday mornings at 10:30 or subscribe to this show on iTunes or Podcast One.